Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
It's Veterans Day, a salute to all who served our country. All about vets and unions. On the show today, Will Adig from the Union Veterans Council and Greg Rivard, president of the Heat and Frost Insulators. Welcome to the Thursday, November 11th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on six platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and the platform known as Stitcher. Well, we have two guests on the show today. We're going to kick things off with Will Adig, and he's been on the show many, many times. In fact, twice a year, we got to do more with him. He's on our Veterans Day show, and then when we do the Memorial Day salute. Well, Will is a combat vet. He served in Iraq back in 2003 to 2010, and he was part of the 126th Infantry, which was one of the most decorated units of the Iraqi war. His story is interesting because after he came home, he struggled, like many vets, to find his way until he was given an opportunity to attend a welding program with Helmets to Hard Hats. That was in 2010. That was a game changer. After completing the program, he went on to become an apprentice with UA Local 160 Plumbers and Pipe Fitters. That was in Southern Illinois. And then he just climbed up the ladder. And for the last couple of years now, he is the executive director of the Union Veterans Council. Unionveterans.org is their website. And he's going to talk about how he got involved. He'll give us some more details on how he moved up the ladder. But the focus of the interview today is Operation Union Veterans Day. And what Will put out is a toolkit. Following the 2020 election cycle, they decided at the Union Veterans Council to engage, educate, and mobilize our veteran community. And that's exactly what they're doing. And they have a toolkit that kind of runs it down. And just to capture some of this, this is all posted on their website, too. Operation Veterans Day, how to get involved, creator support events in your area starting on Veterans Day and throughout the entire month of November. Mobilize union veterans. Invite all union vets to join the AFL-CIO's Virtual Veterans Roundtable, which is happening today. Highlight the stories of your union vets through video testimonials and social media. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities. And one thing about Will, he's really good with the social media. So he's going to run all of this. And, you know, while we're talking about the Union Veterans Council, I want to go to their website and play a little snippet here. And these are union vets talking about getting engaged and getting wonderful work opportunities through the building trades. Let's listen here on America's Workforce.
Sam Phipps served in the United States Army as an infantryman, fought in Afghanistan in 2011-2012. Now I'm a proud union member of Local 562. Getting into Local 562 is just, it's given me a chance at a good life, being able to support not only myself, but more importantly, my family.
Sabrina Harris, U.S. Army, Biological Chemical Warfare, a proud member of AFG Local 96. The union has given me stability in my life.
Jason Barker, United States Army, served in Iraq, now a member of IFF Local 73, St. Louis Firefighters. Being a firefighter and a union member, you'll experience the same brotherhood as you do in the military.
Joe Clarkson, I'm a member of AFGE Local 96. I served in Iraq, in Kosovo, in the U.S. Army Reserve. To me, the union means brotherhood. And when I think of the brotherhood, I think of the phrase on the Union Hall wall that says, "United we bargain, divided we beg."
Through the union, we're together as one.
So that video, if you go to unionveteranscouncil.org, you can see what I'm talking about. And there's a lot of information about the organization. Greg Rivard will be joining us later in the show. Now, Greg is president of the International Association of Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers. Website is insulators.org. And Greg became president on Labor Day of last year. So he's going to give us a little rundown on how difficult that last almost year and a half has been. Greg is a veteran of the U.S. Navy. He served in the Navy from 1974 to 1977, and when he was discharged, he kind of was confused on where he wanted to go and what he wanted to be. And he got some guidance from his family. His dad was a heat and frost insulator, and boy, I'll tell you, he didn't look back. And now he is president of the Heat and Frost Insulator. So Greg Rivard will be our second guest. You know, this being Veterans Day, so many unions are reaching out and wishing vets the best. One of them here is from AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. And this is what's posted on their website. Every day, AFSCME members serve our communities, whether we're driving kids to school, caring for our most vulnerable, keeping our streets safe, or any of the thousands of jobs that we do that put others first. So it's no surprise that AFSCME members from all around the country have also served in every branch of the armed forces. So on Veterans Day today, we recognize their incredible dedication, selflessness, and sacrifice. I come from a military family myself, and I remember the pride we all felt when my older brother Emmett was in Vietnam. Whether you and your family members have served in the military, we want to honor you. And this comes from the president of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. Also, a salute to the many members of the post office. Did you know that about 25% of postal service members, and there's four unions in the postal service. In fact, we just talked to the mail handlers earlier this week. They are military veterans. And there's been a push to get more of them on board. In fact, the Postal Service is looking for help right now. They need some change at the top. I want to tell you that because the guy that's in charge, Louis DeJoy, many are saying he should be let go, fired altogether because they're slowing down the mail service. And there's no mail today because it is a holiday. So don't wait for your mail today. But the bottom line is, if you go to the various unions that represent the workers at the post office, you can see what I'm talking about. So hats off to all the members in the military that served our country. We appreciate what you have done for us. All right, we have to break. When we come back, Will Adig of the Union Veterans Council.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is real simple, AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the fine folks at the United Labor Agency. You can find more at ulagency.org. Well, let's go to our live line and welcome back to the show at least two times a year. And we got to boost that some more because he is such a great guy and a workaholic. He's trying to get the message out for vets. And today is Veterans Day. And joining us is William Attig. Will Attig, combat veteran of the Iraqi War, served back in 2003. Was it 2003 to 2010? Did I get those years correct, Mr. Attig?
You're right, Flash, yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us today. And more importantly, thank you for your service to this country. I got to say that on the show, and I thank all veterans listening today because I tell you, we couldn't do it without you. We are free because of what veterans have done in America for, 200-plus years. So we appreciate everything that you have done. Let's talk about how you connected to the trades. I don't want to get into too much detail. I mean, you've been on before, but we got a lot of new listeners on the show. And it's kind of an interesting story because, like many vets, you kind of struggled a bit when you came home and you were trying to find your way. Let's pick it up from there, Will. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, no, and I think this is a bit of a historic story that happens many generations. And just like, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of other young men and women who have served their country, I came home just like they did. And when you come home, you get thanked for your service. People give you a yellow ribbon. But that's kind of where it ends. And for many of our veterans, they find themselves in a pretty bad place where they're struggling to try and find their place in civilian society. And also many times they're trying to figure out what they're going to use to provide for themselves, whether it's a job, going to college, in my case, finding a trade. And for me, I struggled like many other veterans. And I was lucky enough that in 2010, at the height of the recession, at the height of my problems and struggles as a veteran coming home, I was accepted into a Helmets to Hard Hats welding program. And it literally changed my life. And that let me go directly into a UA, a United Associations Plumbers and Pipefitters apprenticeship program in Southern Illinois, and put me on a pathway to the American dream. And it gave me a union card in my pocket, Flash. And you know what that did? It gave me power. And I was able to take that union card and that union job and use it to then advocate and start working to help support other veterans find other opportunities inside of labor. And that's what I've been doing ever since, really.
That's awesome. So you joined the UA, and I'm looking. This was, what, Local 160 Plumbers, Pipe Fitters in Southern Illinois? Is that right?
Oh, yeah. It's a small local, you know, about 130 working members, real small powerhouse local with a little university for plumbing. And but it was such a game changer. You know, I never really thought about the trades before, but, you know, that small local provided me with not only a job, a paycheck, they gave me structure. I went into an apprenticeship class with fellow peers. I went to work with a work crew. I had a foreman. And it was very similar to the military, and it gave me purpose and its structure. And that little local did so much for me, just like it did to every member of that union.
Yeah, and then you worked up your way in the ranks of the union and then got involved in politics. And then here, 7 years later, you're selected to head the National Union Veterans Council of the AFL-CIO. Unionvets.org, we should throw that website out there. So why don't you explain the Veterans Council? You've been a leader for, 4 years now? How do you feel? I mean, as far as your accomplishments, what you've been able to get done during those 4 years?
Man, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm one of the lucky people that, you know, I tell folks all the time, every day I go to work. And I know that me just showing up for work, I'm going to be able to help fellow veterans, fellow American workers out every single day. And the only question I have to ask myself as I drive into town is how much can I help? And how much am I going to be able to help today? And many times that makes for late nights and long weeks. But, you know, 4 years ago, along with the leadership of the Union Veterans Council, we decided that we were going to create an organization and really reshape it into an organization that engages, educates, and then mobilize the over 1 million working union veterans countless other work union veteran families and retired union veterans that are part of the labor movement all over the country. And our goal is and was and is to create a space for veterans to find information and learn how they're not alone in the trades or in their local union, whether it's federal workers or state employees or trade workers or manufacturing veterans. That they need to know that there's other veterans in their area. Many of them, many veterans, are in high levels of unions across the country. And what we decided to do was create, a space that was able to create the tools and the platforms to hand out to our community and get them more engaged and get them more involved, not only in their local unions, but in their entire community as a whole. And we've seen some great success over the last 4 years. And, for us, the reality of it is we were just testing. And right now we're really excited that we're about to really, push the limits and really take this group of our union community, union veterans, and really take them to the next level over the next couple of years.
I like your motto here. We fight every day for those who have fought for us. I mean, that pretty much says it all right there. You indicated over the 4 years that you headed the Union Veterans Council, that you're still heading, actually, you've had some successes. Is there anything that you could, pinpoint for our listeners? What kind of successes are we talking about, Will?
Well, I think that in general, I think I was talking to a good friend of mine the other day who's a union veteran and a president of International Union, and we were talking about it. And if we wanted to boil it down to the one success is that union veterans are known and talked about quantity. This demographic, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe once a year we would talk about union veterans. They'll be brought up for a few events here and there. But today, I think, and that's through the hard work of the Union Veterans Council and our board and the efforts that have been taken on, is that you can't go anywhere. You can't be part of any conversation around the labor movement without veterans being part of that conversation now. And I would say that's our biggest success. But, I could name a lot. We did a significant amount of work. What we've done is had many accomplishments in kind of a staggered period. We would try and see how we could affect different parts of the labor movement, whether it was, working to try and stop right to work in Missouri, which we had a major impact around crafting the messaging and the idea of how right to work is actually an anti-veteran, anti-worker agenda. We've been able to work with workforce development, and we've created what we call our subcommittee on workforce development, where we've been able to centralize the information sharing for unions to be able to create programs to hire veterans, whether it's through the federal governments or different agencies they need to talk to. We've been able to work during campaign cycles where we've used and empowered our union veterans to elect dozens of veteran candidates across the country that are pro-veteran, pro-labor, bipartisan. Also, we support bipartisan candidates as long as they're willing to stand with us and fight with us. And then, through those successes and the knowledge of the union veterans, we've been able to put ourselves in tables and spaces that the veterans and labor aren't usually put at together. And we're able to find ways that our members, this community of union veterans, can help support. I think a great example is just a couple of months ago, we saw the tragedy, a tragic situation where we were leaving Afghanistan. I'm not here to argue policies and all of that, but the reality of it, within hours of the collapse starting to happen, I started to hear from union veteran members from all over the country asking how they could help or how we could engage to make sure that, veteran or Afghan interpreters and folks that were at risk could come to America. And luckily enough, with the success of the program, it was able to let us hit way above our weight and really engage on that issue in a very high level that led us to actually, being able to create task forces and we were able to create a large group of other veteran organizations to work on this issue. And we were able to bring folks home and save people's lives because of that. And that's a simple success that manifested from many little successes along the way. So I think that's one of the reasons, that's one of the things I'm very proud of. Another great example, and it was, I'm not sure if we've talked since President Trumka, Richard Trumka, the National AFL-CIO, has passed away. And
There was an issue that was very near and dear to his heart that we brought to his attention. That was the idea of veterans being deported. I'm not sure if you know much about this, Flash.
No, I don't. What happened there?
Yeah. Well, so throughout history, people have found a pathway to gain citizenship in America by joining the military. Now, many times this is during times of conflict, during the Korean War, during the Vietnam War, and now especially during the Iraq-Afghanistan War. And many times the idea is good that, you know, that somebody can join the military and use that as an accelerated pathway to citizenship. But many, many times, either the paperwork isn't completed right or things happen, like veterans get PTSD and have DUIs. And then what they do is they lose those protections and they find themselves deported from the only country they ever knew most of the time. And most of the time, what they actually went and fought for. So we were able to work with the, you know, direct support from President Trumpka for the last 2 years. And we've been working on a project to find out how we can bring deported veterans home. And we've been able to partner with the Yale Law School, and right now we're working to not only bring a handful of deported veterans home, we're also working to create legal documents and memos that we can provide to any other organization that wanted to support deported veterans, and it'll be able to let them bring deported veterans home at a much quicker rate. So those are some of the successes we've had that we're just really, really proud of.
I'm glad you brought that up, because Trumpka was a visionary. He really was. And I can only assume that Liz Shuler, who has replaced him, is embracing that as well. Am I correct?
110%. And, you know, I think for our new president, Shuler, you know, again, she's jumped into this role so quickly. And we were lucky enough to have her part of a webinar where we were briefing union organizations across the country about Veterans Day. And, you know, she told a personal story about herself. And it's the story of so many union members in our community. And it was a story that her father was born very, very poor. And started working when he was very young they did fruit. And he quickly joined the Marines and went to Vietnam. And through that process, when he came home, he used that as an ability to get into the IBEW and become a lineman. And within one generation, he was able to completely change the trajectory of that entire family. So he went from being a very poor farm worker to being a Marine veteran, to then being an IBEW member, to now being, you know, the father of the president of the national AFL-CIO. That's pretty cool. And that's the story of so many other veterans, you know. But that's a story you hear every day when you go to a union hall. You're going to find, you know, union members that their parents were able to get them into the pathway simply by being in the military.
When you say you're proud to be an American, boy, that says it all right there, my friend. Will, I have to take a quick break. Will Adig joining us this Veterans Day. Will, combat veteran, also the head of the Union Veterans Council. Now, coming up, we're going to talk about Operation Union Veterans Day and a toolkit, how you can engage, educate, and mobilize. That's coming up back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our Raising Wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And now you can check us out on six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and most recently Stitcher. When you get an opportunity, just sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings. Well, in my opinion, we have a five-star guest, maybe even a 10-star guest, and that's Will Adig, who heads the Union Veterans Council. And this is really cool. I have to admit here, about 2 weeks ago, Will sent me an email about what the Union Veterans Council was about to launch. And what we're talking about is Operation Union Veterans Day. And it's a toolkit. And they've got a lot of help from the AFL-CIO. It's all spelled out. And let's talk about it because, again, the whole idea here is to engage, educate, and mobilize. You got to a good community of vets, solid community. They get up early, they work hard, they produce. Some of them get involved in politics, and many of them want to make sure that everybody has a decent job so they can raise their family, good wages, good benefits, so on and so forth. So talk to me about what you have put forth. This had to take a lot of time, too. It's very, very comprehensive. So, Will, I'm going to let you pick it up from there.
No, I appreciate it. I like being comprehensive. That's usually what I try and do. And I hear a lot of it because I usually write books when it comes to putting plans together. But that's a lot of my military background, I think. And
sure,
you know what we really saw coming out of the last couple of years is that there's a critical need to engage our veterans community and start to mobilize them. And for the first time, really, I think that this is something that not only is Union Veteran Council thinking about, the labor movement as a whole is. And one of the major reasons why is that there's this big resurgence in the labor movement, in the popularity of it and the understanding of it in the American people. If you see today, there's strikes going on across the country, from coast to coast, from the north to the south. And I can guarantee you that there are veterans and veterans' families on every single one of those picket lines. Or there's veterans that are at jobs that need representation that could use worker protections or safety protections on the jobs. And our veterans can be one of the most powerful messengers in the labor movement for spreading the word of what this good thing is that the union is. I didn't know how good the union was before I joined. But now I get to tell a story. I get to tell a story about how simply having a union card in my pocket completely changed my life, completely changed the trajectory of my future. My little baby is going to live a great life because of that union card in my pocket. And I got to thinking a few months ago that we constantly hear about the bad, and I'm constantly working to support veterans that are homeless, veterans that are struggling with mental health, and working on the epidemic of veteran suicide. And I started to think to myself is that so many members of the labor movement are thriving that are veterans. They're doing great. And you think about why, and I think it's because of the stability that a union job gives to them, and then the ability for them to also use that union job to get more involved in their either union or their community. I mean, if you think right now, there's over a dozen union veteran presidents of international unions in America, and there's only 57 unions in the AFL-CIO. And if you've got over 12 of them being union veterans, a pretty high percentage, and it's really cool to see that, because it really shows that when a veteran joins a union, they get an opportunity. So what Operation Union Veterans Day 2021 is the idea of telling the story of our union veterans, our rank and file members, the members of committees and boards or leaders all across the country. We want to hear from them, and we want to hear from the labor movement to lift up and tell their story during the month of November, because it's a powerful thing to talk about. Because when people want to say, why should we have unions? Why should we have legislation that creates jobs and infrastructure and safety in the workplace? It's because it affects our veterans. And again, if we can give these kind of protections and stability to our veterans, they thrive just like so many of our union veterans. And that's the story we want to tell with this toolkit.
So it all starts today, Veterans Day, and as I indicated, you put a whole lot of work into it, and I'm just going to run down. There's four actions that the Union Veterans Council is asking all state federations, central bodies, and affiliates to support our veterans. And it starts off with creating and supporting events in your area during the entire month of November. So it's like every day in November is Veterans Day. Let's get that across. And the whole idea here is to mobilize Union vets. Also, this is number two, invite all Union vets to join the AFL-CIO's virtual Veterans Roundtable. That's happening today. And I would imagine there's links on your website for that, Union Veterans?
Most definitely. You'll find it on all our social media platforms also.
Okay, good. Number three, support the UVC's membership drive through the month of November, sharing content on social media and emails. And lastly, highlight the stories. And you're good on this. The stories. I always say it's about the story. A powerful story reverberates throughout the community. Highlight the stories of your union's veterans through video testimonials and social media. You're a young guy still. You're younger than I know that. And I want to pick up on the social media part, because everybody, especially the younger generation of vets, they're very much engaged on social media. Can you speak to that as far as how effective that's been for the Veterans Council, the Union Veterans Council?
Well, it got me where I'm at today. Truthfully speaking, I think it was in 2016 or 2015, I saw a little advertisement come across Facebook saying, "Are you a Union veteran? Sign up to get a sticker." I'm serious. That's exactly what I got. I sent that webpage a message saying, "My name's Will. This is what I'm doing in Illinois. We should talk sometime." And I think that was one of the first steps to understanding. When I saw that there was an organization that represented my viewpoints as an American veteran and my viewpoints as an American worker and as a union member, I was all in. And every day we find that our social media can reach into communities and be shared very easily. And I think that's the critical part of all of this, is that we need to quickly be able to engage with union veterans across the country and union members in general. And we need to do it in a way that gets them not only educated, because we can educate them all they want, we can throw things at them, but we want to get them excited and engaged. And, you know, seeing a video of another veteran talking about how their life was changed, it's a really powerful way to do that. And today we have just so many tools to do that. To tell those stories. It's as simple as putting a graphic on social media, a picture of a veteran. But to go through those four steps real quick, what we would love to see, right, is through the month of November, starting today, as many veteran roundtables as possible, or if you can interview a veteran in your local area, if you have the means to do that, or just simply tell a story on social media through your website, or if you use newsletters, talk about one of your union vets. But one of the other things is, if you're listening to this radio show, is tell your membership, whether you're a CLC member or a state fed or affiliate union or just a rank and file member, tell union members in your local or your area about the Union Veterans Council and for them to share it with their fellow veterans. I think that's critically important, because the more veterans we can talk to on a regular basis, the more impact and effect we can have on their lives.
This is all contained in Operation Union Veterans Day Toolkit. And I'm just wondering, as far as the buy-in, I mean, the AFL-CIO wholeheartedly supports what you're doing. And I'm looking at your executive committee. You've got the Airline Pilots Association. You got the iron workers, the machinists, NATCA, that's the air traffic controllers, the painters and allied trades, officers for the Union Veterans Council. Your chair is Cecil Roberts, who I believe is a Vietnam vet. Am I right in saying that?
He is.
Yeah. Well, he's a fighter. He's been working that crazy strike down in Alabama for months now. And also the co-chair is Mark McManus, who comes from the UA. So it sounds to me that you got a lot of people behind you, good people. There's no question about that. As far as this toolkit, it officially has been launched, and I'm taking I guess I'm assuming that it's being accepted widely around right now. What's the story on that?
No, it is. I mean, right now, if you got on social media as we were talking right now, you'd be seeing a lot of these things that we're talking about in action. We got this toolkit out to a lot of our unions early, but if you're listening to this show and you want to get access to this, simply go to our website, unionveterans.org, and you'll find pinned to our homepage the access to this toolkit for any union veteran to get into and use and use for their local area.
Awesome. Well, Will, I think we've covered it all. I hope I didn't miss anything here, but you're a fighter and you're so passionate about this. I'm telling you. Again, we're talking about an individual who came back from Iraq in 2010, was a bit confused about life, where to go, what to do. Decided to go to Helmets to Hard Hats, great organization. We've had them on the show many, many times. And that was a game changer. It was a life-changing moment for him. And now he's president, executive director, I should say, of the Union Veterans Council, unionvets.org. Anything else? Did I miss anything here, my brother?
Yeah, let me just say one last thing real quick, if that's okay.
Sure, go ahead.
Day, I want to thank every veteran for their service, especially also their family members, the spouses and the partners that live through the life of being a union veteran. And then so many of our union members that are parents that sent their young kids off to war throughout our history. Those are the people I really want to think about today. I went down to that crazy strike with Cecil Roberts, who's a CIB holder, just like myself, combat infantry badge, got in Vietnam, I got in Iraq. And I went down there and I spent 12 hours in a Tuscaloosa County jail with 11 other coal miners. And I went down there to fight for people in their community that were standing up for each other, fighting for their country. So what I always like to end these things with is that it is Veterans Day, and I want to thank every veteran for their service. But what I do want to also do is thank everybody else who's every day fighting for their fellow American, whether it's union rights or human rights or civil rights. There's dignity in standing up for your community and your country, and standing up for your workers and standing up for the right things in this world. And I'm proud to be in the fight with every single person that's part of the labor movement. It's doing that every single day. So thank you for your service to this country also.
Will, you said it all. And again, at the Union Veterans Council, we fight every day for those who have fought for us. It says it all right there. Okay, my brother, you stay safe. Happy Veterans Day to you. I salute you. I salute all vets. I love all vets. I respect all vets. I like union vets a little bit better, though.
We'll take that.
Okay. You stay safe, my brother, and we'll be in touch, okay?
Thank you so much, Rob. Looking forward to it.
Oh, I really love talking to that guy. Will Adig, Executive Director of the Union Veterans Council. Unionveteranscouncil.org is our website. When you get an opportunity, do check out that toolkit that he was talking about. All about getting educated and mobilized. We like that. All right, we're going to break. When we come back, Greg Rivard, another union vet. He's with the Heat and Frost Insulators, and he's coming up next.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And of course, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle, real simple, AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two right now. And welcome back to the show. It's been a while for this gentleman. His name is Greg Rivard, and he is president of the Insulators Union, the Heat and Frost Insulators. Website is insulators.org. And this being Veterans Day, well, we're saluting the vets, and Greg is in that category. Prior to joining the union, he proudly served in the U.S. Navy from 1974 to 1977. And after that, he found his way into the union. Hey, Greg, welcome back to the show, and happy Veterans Day to you.
Well, thanks, Flash, and I'm happy to be here.
Let's go back to 1977. I want to talk to you, too, because Greg became president of the Heat and Frost Insulators a little over a year ago. It was September 7th of 2020, right on Labor Day, as a matter of fact. But I want to go back and revisit 1977, because that was a time in your life where you just got out of the Navy, didn't know exactly what you wanted to do, and well, you've got some family members that were in the union, and I guess they kind of guided you. Talk to me about that part, Greg.
Well, when I got out of the service in 1977, I returned back home to Michigan, and work was slow at the time. So I had worked for the Laborers Local 1098 previously. So I went back down the hall. I signed up for the Laborers, and I worked for them, but work was slow. And so you'd work for a while, and you get laid off, and so in the meanwhile, my father, being an insulator, and my uncles, they had a need for insulators. They're building a new powerhouse on the west side of the state. And so my dad got me on with the local. So I went over to work with the insulators. And I went back and forth between the laborers and insulators for 4 years until I had the opportunity to start an apprenticeship in 1982 with the insulators. But work was slow. And when it came out of the service, and it was tough, you know, trying to find a job.
Oh, I remember that time. Oh, yeah. That was real tough. It was after the Watergate situation. It was after Vietnam. Things were really slow. And I know interest rates were crazy high back then. People couldn't even afford to get a loan to buy a home. It was a difficult time. But at least you found your way into the insulators. And talk to me about the apprenticeship program. How was the apprenticeship program? Maybe you can make some comparisons because, you know, the old line, you've come a long way, baby. I'll bet the program back in the early 80s is quite different than what we're looking at today.
Well, they are a lot different than they were. And last time when I spoke with you, I had told you that I had saved my GI Bill, and I was going to utilize it for my apprenticeship. You could use that, or you could go to college, and college wasn't going to work out for me because we traveled with work, so you could never complete classes. But as I was taking my apprenticeship and going through the training, I was notified by the federal government that the local did not properly register our program, and I had to pay all my money back, and it was a hardship. I was married and starting a family. So that's what got me involved in the union, and I said that we were going to run a program, and it was going to be registered with the BAT, and we're going to put efforts in there to have a first-class apprenticeship training program. And we were successful getting that program registered and funding the program. And today it's just as good as any other program throughout the country. And so we're proud of the accomplishments that the local has made. And we're in compliance with the Bureau of Apprenticeship Training.
That's good. So it took a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, but you got it on track. That's certainly good to hear. Well, Greg, I want to talk about this being Veterans Day and the fact that you're a vet, and there's a lot of vets that do listen to this show. We appreciate that, and they, too, might be looking for a career. So talk to me about getting into the insulators, and I know you've got a relationship with Helmets to Hard Hats, don't you?
We do. We have a great relationship with Helmets to Hard Hats, and us, along with the other building trade unions, we're always in need of quality people to come fill the ranks of our apprenticeship programs. And we daily, if you look at the international website, we have ads out there where we're accepting apprentice applications throughout the U.S. and Canada. And right now, it is no different. We're all competing for good quality candidates, and the people who come out of the service, I mean, they're a great candidate. I mean, they've been in the service. They know how to take orders. They know how to get up and go to work every day. And if it requires to be a drug-free workforce, they're able to meet the needs of the industry. So we really encourage them, and we need them badly. So we open arms to any of the military veterans as they leave the service.
Well, that being said, Greg, are a lot of vets insulators today? Have they taken advantage of your apprenticeship program?
There are people taking advantage of it. I don't have the exact numbers throughout the country, but we definitely have a lot of members who were served in the armed forces, and they've come out and they've entered into the apprenticeship programs and had successful careers, making a good living wage for their families and having health care benefits and pensions. And that's really important, especially today. You know, there seems to be a big business seems to be wanting to take away benefits as far as pension benefits and stuff for their employees. Mm-hmm. Where we've held solid throughout our industry and maintaining those benefits. And that's what keeps quality workers in place is the difference of having well paid benefits and wages for the individuals working out in the construction industry.
Greg, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk about the profession itself. And you know this, Pete Almini, who heads the Labor Management Trust on behalf of the Heat and Frost Insulators, talks about the career itself. And you know what's going on with climate change and the fact that insulators, when you bring the heat and frost insulators, technically you're dealing with that because you're saving money. You're insulating what needs to be insulated. You're conserving money. And a lot of businesses are getting that. I'm just wondering now, with what's going on, and plus we got this new infrastructure bill that's soon to be signed by President Biden, I guess next week, and I'm sure you had a glimpse of that. The future of this industry, as a president of the insulators, you got to be pretty excited, right?
Well, I am excited, and that's one of the things that I'm excited about, but also poses a problem. As the industry grows, so is our need for new members. And to reach out and to find people and bring them into the program. A lot of people don't understand mechanical insulation. We're usually one of the last crafts that come onto the job site. Most of the people have already completed their scope of work before we get started. And so we close the door as we head out. But our trade, the insulators, we're the only trade for the first moment we walk on the job and start applying insulation to mechanical systems. The savings is immediate. Right then and there. Our sole purpose is to conserve energy by the use of mechanical insulation. And throughout the United States and most of the world, that area of the construction has been, I would say, left at minimum standards. And they realize now that through mechanical insulation that they can save a tremendous amount of money. And that's being green in itself. And part of President Biden's Build Back America and the infrastructure package does include mechanical insulation. So we're happy to be a part of that and to do what we're trying to do to conserve energy and we reach the goal of carbon neutral.
Yeah. It's kind of bittersweet here because the jobs are there, but you need people to work in those jobs. So I'm just wondering, what are we doing to attract more apprentices? And maybe you could speak to what you're doing with the military. Are you going to the armed forces and saying, hey, bring them over here. We need them. Is that happening?
Yeah, it does happen. It's being done mostly through the building trade unions and through open interview processes that allow veterans to directly apply to the local unions, by the internet. That information is available on our international website. If you're looking for a career, you can get on insulators.org and you can find out whatever area of the country you're at, contact the local unions, let them know that you're interested in applying for a membership and the interview process will start and take people in. We have like different areas of the country that have, more work than others because it's construction and it varies. But there's a lot of work that we do, too, that's maintenance work, that those jobs, once the construction project has been completed, they convert over to maintenance work where we have long-term employment for our members who work on those sites, such as, you know, powerhouses and chemical plants and refineries and hospitals and any other type of industry that would use our services.
So would you say the best advice for, well, especially vets, we're talking about veterans on Veterans Day today, go to insulators.org, kind of get acclimated with what insulators do and follow the process from there? Would that be good advice, Greg?
Yes, absolutely. And you can go on YouTube and there's different videos on there, and a day in the life of an insulator, what they do. It shows what the apprentices go through, the programs and training and the applications of material. So there's a lot of that information that's available on the internet. And then you just have to do is, zero in on what area of the country that you're living in or you hope to live in, and mm-hmm. contact that local union and the process will start.
Greg, I'll be honest here. I never learned so darn much about mechanical insulation until I started doing the interviews with Pete Almini. I tell you, that guy, it's like a professor talking to me every month here on America's Workforce. So I definitely love that guy, and I'm sure he's a big part of what you do on behalf of the heat and frost insulators. Let's talk about the last year here. On September 7th of 2020, you became president of the Insulators, quite an accomplishment there. And I would just like you to review real quick the past almost year and a half now. How do you feel about it?
Well, the last year and a half has flew by. I have to say that. And it was not an easy time to take over with COVID. We've lost 38 members to COVID so far that worked out in the field. And it's put a hardship on our employers and our members as well. If we had to transition into doing our work in a different manner, which we have. We had closed down our office. Matter of fact, we're in the process right now of remodeling the office so everybody can be socially distanced and the employees can report to work and work in a safe manner, come home to their families without having to worry. But it's been a very difficult time, and I've had the assistance of Doug Gamble, who was a general secretary treasurer, and he's done a great job, and along with our general executive board. Our constitution requires that the general executive board meet twice a year. And normally they do, but since I've been general president, I convened them via Zoom for 28 different occasions to address the changes that need to be made in our union and the issues that we face in our industry so that our members can continue to work and continue to operate their local unions with as much autonomy as possible and come home to their families safely. So it's been quite a challenge, but we're all looking forward to this pandemic being over with, and we encourage our members to get vaccinated and for their own safety and the safety of their family members. Many of the job sites throughout the country now are requiring employees to be vaccinated to work in those areas. And so it's something I think that's the new normal that we're going to have to face and deal with. But
yeah,
the last year has been it's been a good year. It's transitioned well, and I'm very thankful for the help that I've gotten through our general executive board and everybody that within our international union.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a lot of hard work and a learning experience for yourself as well. So it's good to hear. It's good to hear. Yeah, it couldn't end quick enough, this pandemic. I'm done with it. I'm sure you and all the insulators are at this point. Well, Greg, I'm going to leave it on that note. One more thing. Any parting words here? This being Veterans Day, anything you want to say about the veterans that work as insulators or veterans in general? Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say thank you to all our members, both in the United States and Canada, who have served in the armed forces. We appreciate the sacrifices that you've made. And we are our new winter journal here that we just published. They have over 3,800 names of veterans who have served, and we're proud to honor them, and we want to thank them. And I tell everybody, you know, tomorrow when you're on the job site and if you see someone who served in the armed forces, take a moment and thank them for their service and be respectful of those who have passed to give us the freedom that we enjoy today.
Well said, my man. Greg, you take care. Thank you for serving our country. Greg Rivard, president of the Insulators, Heat and Frost Insulators. Website is insulators.org. You take care, stay safe, and we'll talk down the road, okay, brother?
Thanks, Flash. You take care, pal.
That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, it's the American Federation of Government Employees and the United Auto Workers. Until then, all of you have a safe and great Veterans Day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.